Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. 3:07 PM right now. We're jumping into the next topic on our Triple Dipper for the day. Triple Dipper number one was leadership matters and how much we need people to get involved. It doesn't matter whether you have a position of authority or a grand title next to your name or anything else for that matter. Speak into your moment because we need you in Alabama. Folks like that are what it's going to take to break some of the log jams we see down in Montgomery. Well, that takes me to Triple Dipper piece number two. So here we are looking at a major report that just came out from the Alabama Policy Institute. I teased this right before we went to the break. And API, by the way, has 30 years of great history of putting together reviews and documentaries and white papers and research matters related to things on state policy. Mostly going to wind up finding things on, you know, limited government and fiscal policy and strong families. And all of those to say, they do amazing work, and I've been proud to be affiliated with them now for several years and to use their research when I was a state senator. Well, coming on the air with us right now, I'm glad to have Caleb Crosby, who's the president of the Alabama Policy Institute, which I'll just call API. It's a lot easier. Caleb Crosby's coming on along with Justin Bogey, who's been on the show before as the fiscal analyst, director of fiscal policy for API. Hey, gentlemen, how you guys doing today?
Doing well.
Do I have a Caleb and a Justin?
Yeah, doing great.
Thank you,
Bill.
There we go. Okay, right. That was like a resound. Hey, how are you? All right. So listen, guys, and I'll go back and forth trying to catch you so we can not talk over each other. But the Policy Institute's come out with this new report right now. I'm looking at a copy of a press release that came out through. This one came out from Alabama Today, I believe, and it talks about the fact that it basically says Our own Republican Party is allowing big government to grow in Alabama. Caleb, you want to address that first?
Sure, yeah. Thanks, Phil. Thanks for having us on, and great work by Justin on this. And I think it's really just to highlight how much money, as a state, our government has. Now, Phil, some of those things were not necessarily due to any decisions that our state government made, as you know, collecting some of the sales tax and some other components that just happened. But it really does beg the question, particularly as conservatives, is how much money does the government need? And at what point do we say, hey, we've met our basic needs of what the state government's role is, and then how can we then take less from the people and reduce their tax burden so that they can take their money and help, stir the economy and take care of their families and other things? And so I think that's really what this should lead to, is asking that question. I mean, there's something to be said for fiscal responsibility and balanced budgets, but Phil, when you continue to have just massive surpluses, I think that's the question we have to ask and our leaders have to wrestle with.
No, I totally agree, and that sure fits the theme of this show. And Justin, you've been on the show most recently, I think, was it last week maybe, and talked about this report, which is now finally out in long form, But you spent a lot of time deep diving on this. Was there anything in particular that stood out to you as a significant factor that you want to point out to the general public?
Sure, yeah. And I think Caleb hit on some of this, but the theme really is just the continuing expansion of government. And Alabama counts itself as a very conservative state, but what we're seeing from Montgomery, oftentimes isn't, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But, just the amount of money that's come in is mind-blowing. And as we mentioned last week, state revenues were $1.2 billion higher in 2021 than they were in 2020. But then you have really tens of billions of dollars in federal stimulus money that's flowed into the state. The state's directly received about $4 billion. Department of Education's gotten over $4 billion more. Local governments have gotten more. But in the totality, when you include PPP loans and stimulus checks to individuals, I think I saw a number last week that's close to $48 billion flowed into the state last year. And as we've mentioned on the show before, a lot of that money's not getting back to individuals. From our research, we found that less than a quarter of the CARES Act money, so $1.9 billion, went back into the private sector, with most of it going back into government. Which, when you add that on top of all of these tax revenues and all the other money that they have coming in, that really begs the question, why aren't we giving any kind of relief or giving some money back to individuals and businesses who are really the ones who were impacted the most by the pandemic last year.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And I mean, I know there's ways to do this. Having been down there before, having been the vice chairman of the general fund committee, because just to remind our listeners, a lot of folks don't realize we're one of only three states that has split budgeting. There's everything in the world education in one budget, everything else in the world it takes to run our state, like Medicaid and prisons and court systems and state troopers, and all of it is in the other budget called the general fund. That being said, overall, though, your report, I'm looking at a stat right here in your report, says that state spending went up 17% in the last 3 years. And truthfully, Justin, that's not like it went up 17% and we saw a lot of new stuff. They basically grew government to a large degree with that 17% increase in overall spending.
Right, you're exactly right. And what we tried to focus on really in this report, there's some more general background information and historical kind of information. But what has the current legislature done? So the budget they inherited in 2018, what they've done through the enacted budget for 2022, it's grown by 17%. And you're right, you know, most of that is just continuing to grow government. We haven't seen a lot of big projects. The only thing I can really point to that would be a kind of fall into that category would be this latest round, you know, just earlier this month with the prison money. They're going to send about $385 million towards prison construction. But it's mostly been growing existing government. And then you have to think that a lot of this stimulus money that's come in is also, you know, I've heard concerns from people in Montgomery who are pretty high up that in state government, that they're worried that state agencies aren't spending this money really responsibly. And, you know, at some point, assuming that federal stimulus money runs out in 2024, there's going to be a cliff and we're going to, you know, really be having a problem of we've created all of these new jobs and new programs, you know, how are we going to continue to fund those in the future? So that's, yeah. You know, one of the issues that we look at in this.
Yeah. And you're right. Cause once they become accustomed to spending on a certain thing, good luck making it go away. Unless
exactly.
You sunset
it's a whole lot easier to create new spending than it seems to be to get rid of spending after the fact.
Oh yeah, always, always. Well, Caleb, so listen, there have been, like I know State Senator Dan Roberts has been interested in some tax cuts for businesses. We've heard most recently State Senator Arthur Orr call for a tax cut or some type of relief for general citizens of a certain age demographic. What are you hearing? Are you hearing of anything right now that says, hey, we're planning in the next regular session to give something back?
Yeah, we're certainly hearing the same thing you mentioned, Phil, and it continued to encourage our legislatures to really think big. This is a tremendous amount of increase here, and if there's a way to reduce taxes, whether you know it be some of the business use tax or the grocery tax, we know the impact that would have on you know individual families as well as businesses in our economy. And so we're just kind of consistently pushing our legislators to see, hey, there's not a need for more spending. I mean, as you know, Phil, 2 years ago, for the very first time, Alabama spends more per pupil on education than Mississippi, and Mississippi has surpassed us in the rankings.
Yeah.
So money does not solve all problems, whether that be, you know, an individual or businesses and schools. We've got to look at how we can make policy changes and reforms to fix core functions that government has a responsibility on and quit looking for just new streams of revenue, because that's not helping us.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I know one of the things that you want to see is government, in a sense, run more like a business, with one exception, and that would be you don't try to make a profit in government. And government should be at a point where it spends what's necessary and then gives back the rest or sets it in reserve for future years. But right now what they do instead is they spend. And Justin, you pointed out, I think what I heard you saying a moment ago reminds me of a time period when I was in the Pentagon. You get to the end of a fiscal year, and people are saying, hey, man, we got to spend it or lose it, spend it or lose it. And some of this money we've received from D.C., they're in a spend it or lose it mode because they have to spend it by a certain date, which creates a level of irresponsibility if we're not careful. And we got about 1 minute for our break. Justin, you want to address that?
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. And, you know, originally, like with the CARES Act money last year, we thought it was going to be basically the end of 2020 was going to be the deadline. So everyone started spending that. And then, you know, the deadline ended up getting extended eventually. But by that point, the state had already told counties and municipalities, if you don't spend your share of this money, we're going to take it back and we're going to spend it. You know, all that money is gone, even though the deadline was extended. And, you know, Caleb mentioned education. We've already heard that the state superintendent is going to ask for another $400 million in the 2023 budget, which is coming up here in a few months. That's on top of this $4.5 billion that they've gotten from the federal government. So, you know, to me, the question is, why would you need another $400 million right now when you have this $4.5 billion that basically fell into your lap from the federal government? It's just kind of that mentality that I think we're struggling against this. You know, just because we can ask for more money, we're going to ask for more money, even though the results really haven't proven that adding more money to education works.
Yeah, absolutely. And fellas, you guys both know my lovely wife, Charlene. She just texted me, and because she listens to the show every day, and she texts me insights, and she's made a great point. She said, we're being pummeled from the federal government. This would be a great time to give some state of Alabama relief. I totally agree with that.
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, fellas, we're hitting a break right now. Can you hang on through the break? I want to continue this conversation and maybe even talk about what we see that could be done and maybe what other states are doing. Is that good with y'all?
Sounds good.
Great.
All right, good deal. Yo, guys, hang on. We're going to take a short break, folks. Listen, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, and that includes fiscal policy. And what we're talking about right now is the fact that more money is in Montgomery than they've ever seen before. And if you're hearing politicians bragging about how it's so cool, we spent more money this year, we had the biggest budgets we've ever had. Well, if they want to say that spending is a, you know, a reason to vote for them, maybe not. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right, giving it to you straight so that you can have that water cooler conversation, talk to that person in the fast food line, or just know a little bit more about where you stand. And we're dealing with fiscal policy right now because spending in Montgomery, and we're going to talk about D.C. later, but spending in Montgomery is, wow, at next level. And so we're on the phone right now with Caleb Crosby, the president of the Alabama Policy Institute, along with director of fiscal policy, Justin Bogey. And they've just come out with this new report that literally, it's a new report with old news, I guess, if you will, because what they've done is a deep dive on the spending in Montgomery and showing that we are basically seeing government grow by a rate of 17% over the last 3 years, more revenue than ever. So, Justin, the report is out. So how, I guess the next step now is to get it in people's hands. If they want to see a copy of the report, first of all, how can the listeners get a copy of it?
Sure, yeah. They can go to alabamapolicy.org. It's posted there. And really the goal of this is just to give the average person the background on how the budgets work, you know, the levels that we're at, what's happened over the last 3 years in terms of spending and revenue and kind of how we got to this point. And then allow them to make their own decisions. You know, is the representation in Montgomery, is that what you voted for? Is that what you support? And if it's not, then demand better from our elected officials, or, you know, take a look at potentially other people who are running it, if they would align more with your values. That's kind of really the what we want people to take away from this, just to get a better idea of where we are. And, you know, again, does that represent your beliefs?
No, I completely agree. And Caleb, you know, we've dealt with some things. Like, we even gave an award at the Policy Institute. There was one legislator, and that would be State Representative Andrew Sorrell, who in 2019 was the only legislator out of all 140 who voted no against an increased budget, no against a gas tax, and then something else. I've forgotten what it was now in fiscal areas. He was the only one that stood up on all three things, if you recall.
I do, yeah, and I think when you brought up, Phil, just the idea of, you know, a majority of our legislators ran on a limited government platform and then have as one of the highlights that they've done record spending. And so to me, those don't go hand in hand. I'm looking for our limited government legislators to go in and shrink government, protect our civil liberties, talk about what can be done from personal responsibility and markets and churches and nonprofits, not what the government's going to do with our money to solve our problems. And so I think there just seems to be a big disconnect between the platform that's being run on what's being said in the elections, Phil, and then how governing's taking place. I mean, that's what this report really demonstrates, you know, pretty clearly.
Well, and I agree. And I guess at this point, too, we usually do a guide to the issues, which I think has already been done. Am I right, Justin, in saying that we have a separate, like a one-pager guide to the issues that sort of breaks it down in bullet points?
Yeah, well, there's some things at the beginning of this document that break it down a little clearer. We have an infographic in there that highlights a lot of this in just a couple of pages of picture. So kind of an easier digestible form of it. And, you know, our friends at 1819 News, I think, are going to be doing some other stories that break this down a little shorter, more succinctly. So that'll be another good way to get that information out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I know we usually have the ability, people can go to alabamapolicy.org and also sign up to get newsletters and things like that and track things, like you said, on 1819, as well as listening to this show. And we'll be putting it in their hands if they want a copy of it. Justin, real quick, when you were on the show with me, what, a week or two ago, we also talked about the fact that there was action being taken by other states, some of which literally Alabama could do if they wanted to, even with CARES Act funds. And what if you had to give some advice right now to a legislator that said, tell me how I can best give some money back to people, what could I do? After your deep dive on all of this, what would you say?
Sure, yeah, and it's a lot of the things we talked about last week, and it's in this document as well, but, you know, 12 states this year have enacted legislation to reduce corporate or individual income taxes. 11 of those states were controlled by Republicans. So, again, Alabama's in that same situation. Why isn't that something we're looking at? Caleb already mentioned the grocery tax earlier. You know, with this $1.2 billion surplus that we saw this year, that could easily be done. That's something that would help all Alabamians. That should certainly be looked at. And again, back on the corporate income tax rate, there was a bill a couple years ago to do that. It wasn't reintroduced in 2021, so we'd love to see that come back, just to, you know, permanently lower Alabama's corporate rate, untie some of the connections to the federal tax legislation, and, you know, really make us more competitive with our neighboring states. So I think all of those would be great ways to give back to the people and businesses of Alabama.
Well, so the bottom line is there's things that can be done. Yeah, we got about 30 seconds, Caleb.
Sure.
Phil, as you know, Mississippi is considering eliminating their income tax and raising their sales tax. If they did that, we'd have Tennessee, Mississippi, and Florida surrounding us who don't have income tax. And as you know, many surveys have been done of what would, you know, get somebody to move from state to state, and that's a big driver.
Yeah, it's a big driver. It also helps our military personnel who can establish their home of record and make Alabama a home of record that has no income tax.
Amen.
All right. All right, fellas. Appreciate you very much. Thanks for the work you do. I enjoy being affiliated with you at API. Hey, folks, that was Caleb Crosby, president of Alabama Policy Institute, and Justin Bogey, the director of fiscal analysis. And we'll be right back with a whole lot more.